It's just, it is incredible the run that this team has gone on. And we've kind of run out of superlatives here in the market, so that's why we needed to head outside of the market to get other people to say very nice things about the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I've been high on this team since before the season started. I'm a big fan of a lot of the individual players they've brought in, both prospects and free agents over the past couple of years. But I just looked at this lineup top to bottom and thought, you know, I didn't think that they'd be doing what they've been doing for the past couple of weeks. But I thought this lineup was going to score a lot of runs. I thought the rotation was going to be solid at least. And that's even before they brought in Jose Barrios. They've been the best team in the American League for the past couple of weeks, and it's not close. And, I've seen some Blue Jays fans online complaining about how the playoff odds underrated them when they were down to like a 5% chance of making the playoffs a couple weeks ago, and now they're up to in the low 70s. I think that just illustrates how remarkable and unusual this run they've been on has been, because you don't see teams do this every day, and I think that's reflected in the standings, playoff odds, stats everywhere.
So we're trying to tease out the roller coaster of emotions, the highs and the lows here. If you took the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays and just put them in shorts and T-shirts and separated them into three groups, which one are you picking as the best baseball team, true talent on a day-to-day basis?
That's a really good question, because the Yankees, I think, don't have as much depth in the lineup, but they've got a lot of superstar power. I think Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher among those three teams. You look at guys like Aaron Judge and Joey Gallo, what they can do, and a lot of what the Blue Jays have made up so much ground, I think, because so many of those stars on the Yankees and to a lesser extent the Red Sox have underperformed. And so, you know, but if you just look at those teams on paper, you just look at the names, I think the Blue Jays, they'd probably be the team I picked. I think I picked them before the season when the roster looked broadly like this. It was just, you know, I think the unusual thing was that they weren't in the playoff picture for so long, that they were underperforming. And now everything is just sort of regressed to the mean in the matter of like 20 days.
Yeah, the bullpen just nuked them for a certain point in time of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say that the bullpen can't rear its ugly head again, but once the starters start going deeper into games and you're only needing two, maybe three innings out of that pen as opposed to trying to cobble four and five together, it's amazing how much better those arms can kind of look. You know, talking about what you expected of this team heading into the season, you know, the two things I think it's safe to say you didn't expect were Jose Barrios. He wasn't here, so it was unfair to expect that he'd be a Jay, and Alek Manoah being this. You know, every team has young pitchers or young prospects in general that they're high on, but I think coming into the season, people would have thought that guy, if I were to tell you there's a rookie who is, you know, had multi 10 strikeout games or double digit strikeout games, people would have thought that guy would have been Nate Pearson. The fact that Manoah has kind of come out of nowhere, you know, when you add a bat to a lineup, that's impressive and that helps. But if you give a team another front end starting pitcher, it's amazing how much it can, in my opinion, at least change their ceiling.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I was watching last night's game and he was absolutely incredible. Like, I was just like grunting at the screen. He was so good.
You're like Robbie Ray.
The point about Pearson is exactly right, because that was one of the things that I said had to go right, and obviously it hasn't. And Manoah's a guy I've liked since he was at West Virginia, but I didn't expect him to come out and be able to put on the kind of performance that he did last night against a very, very good Tampa Bay team. And if he gives you that down the stretch, it gets a lot easier. I mean, this is a really good 1-4 now if he is this guy, and that's your, you know, it's a playoff rotation that maybe doesn't match up with a team like the White Sox, but it keeps you in the game, and the offense can take care of the rest.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that maybe you questioned about this group was, do they have that real true front end ace guy? And Robbie Ray has kind of, you know, developed into that. You know, you mentioned his success against the Rays. We always talk about small sample sizes and being careful. there isn't a team in the major leagues he's pitched more against than Tampa. It's also the team he's had the best run of success against. It's only 18 and two-third innings. I know you cannot, you know, write a guy's career based on, you know, a three-start sample size. But when it looks like this against the team that good, how much can you read into and say, yeah, that's a guy who can dominate kind of high-end teams, although maybe we don't think of the Rays offense the way we think of a Blue Jays or even a Yankees. Like, what does it tell you that the fact that the team he's had the most success against is Tampa and just what he's able to do against the talented team?
Yeah, I think, like you said, you try not to read too much into just a handful of starts against one team because the composition of that team can change over the course of time it takes to make those two or three starts. But, I mean, it's obviously a good thing, right? It's good for him to get that confidence under his belt, to know, to learn these hitters, to learn how to attack these hitters. And I think that's true for not just young guys like Manoah, but guys like Ray, who, you know, had bounced back from being completely ineffective in the not-too-distant past. And the Blue Jays, I think, will be very well served by how well their rotation's going right now at this point in the season. You know, I don't really believe there's such a thing as peaking at the right time, but just from a, you know, these guys are only human. They'll pitch better if they have confidence, and how can they not at this point?
I'm trying to broaden my baseball horizons and not just focus on the Blue Jays. There's a couple of teams in the wild card hunt still, in Oakland and Seattle, that aren't out of it. Are one of those teams more formidable that I should be concerned with as a Jays fan? Do you think either of them can find their way in?
I think, I don't know. I'm a little hesitant to write anybody off completely. Neither of those teams has played that well of late. I think Oakland has the better team top to bottom. Seattle's been a weird case. You know, you look at their run differential, and this is something that the Mariners themselves are a little sensitive about, but it would be one of the worst run differentials for a playoff team in the 21st century. They're currently 56 runs underwater right now. But that said, like, their bullpen has been really good. I think their offense is also more talented than the production that they've let on. They've had a lot of young guys in and out of the lineup. They've had a lot of injuries. Right now, I think their team batting average is something in the 220s, but I think they've got the potential for more than that. So I think the Mariners, you know, might have something extra if they get into the playoff picture. But I think those teams are pretty much just hanging on at this point. I think those three spots, what I really want is the one game playoff between the Yankees and the Red Sox to get into the wild card game against the Blue Jays. And I think those two spots are going to end up being settled between the three AL East teams.
You know, sometimes when you have a big game like that, you'd have like a, you know, a pregame ceremony. And if it's in Boston, I would just like to see Veritek just mushing A-Rod's face one more time, just for the people of Boston, if we got that. Because, I mean, yeah, that would be as good a drama as possible. You know, the thing that we've been kind of trying to figure out here in this market is, okay, of those two teams, let's play the happy world where the Jays have one of those wild card spots. And they're sitting there watching a one-game playoff for who gets to play them. Who's the more formidable team of just those two, of the Yankees and the Red Sox? Because they both are kind of very similar to me in that, yeah, okay, Chris Sale, okay, yeah, Gerrit Cole. After that, a lot of questions. And then in terms of the offense, yeah, a lot of big bats that can get hot and a lot of question marks as well. I've been kind of looking at them like they're, you know, mirror images of each other. What do you make in terms of which would be the more difficult matchup for the Blue Jays of just those two?
Yeah, I think if you just look at the talent, Cole with that Yankees lineup would be scarier to me, but they've underperformed in basically every aspect this season. Like, it's mystifying to me how they're not hitting better, even before the slump they went on. Whereas the other thing with the Yankees is their bullpen's been absolutely shredded by injuries. Like, losing Jonathan Loaisiga is huge. Zach Britton's out for the season. They don't know if they can trust Aroldis Chapman in those late and close situations. So, you know, Aaron Boone's having a tough time managing around his team's flaws, and I think that could rear its head in a one-game playoff. But at the same time, all it takes is, you know, one mistake each to Stanton and Judge, and that's the ball game. And so that's a really thin margin. I think the Red Sox are sort of a lower ceiling, higher floor proposition at this point. I think, all things being equal, if I were the Blue Jays, I'd probably take Boston, but I could see that, yeah, I could see that argument going either way.
With, 20 games or so left in the season here, we're trying to handicap the awards races. Do you think that the Jays have a couple of chances here to MVP and Cy Young?
I think, I was beating the Vladimir Guerrero for MVP drum pretty hard early in the season. I think Ohtani's put it out of reach. I think just what he's been able to do on both sides of the ball, it's everything that was advertised when he was coming in. Like, this is basically the best case scenario. So, I don't think anybody's going to touch him. As far as the Cy Young, Robbie Ray is currently the AL leader in baseball reference war for pitchers. So there's the White Sox have a couple guys in that conversation. Nathan Eovaldi's pitched really well for Boston. He's not the marquee name on that rotation by any stretch of the imagination, but he's probably been their best pitcher top to bottom all year. I think if the Blue Jays are going to take home individual hardware, it's probably right with the Cy Young, but that's a close race. I'm not really sure how to handicap that at this point.
We both have some wonderful F1 questions for you because we're all just fans of the sport now. But sticking with the Jays for at least this last one, the thing I've been trying to kind of wrap my head around is this is such an exciting time for a team like this. It is a group of people or players who were always promised to get here, and now you're seeing it. But, Vladdy Jr. might win the Triple Crown. He might do it hitting 50-plus bombs. And the question I keep wondering for myself is, how much better can a guy like that get? We think this is the beginning of building for this team. It's entirely possible that this is the greatest single season, Vladdy Jr. ever ends up having. What do you make of the kind of trajectory for a guy like this who's reaching what would be, everyone else's peak at this early stage of his career?
Yeah, that's, he's, when he was coming up, he was the best hitting prospect since, pick a name out of the hat, it had been a couple years. And so he's been a hard player to gauge his trajectory in much the same way that somebody like, I'll just use the example I used when I wrote about him earlier this year. I was comparing the season he's having now to Bryce Harper's MVP year, where he had basically adjusted for league offensive environment, Ted Williams' 1941 season. And that was his best season ever at 22. It's basically everybody's best season except for Barry Bonds in the past 50 years. And, Harper's been a very, very good player ever since. I think if the Phillies were better, he would be in the NL MVP conversation right now. So I think, if this is the best thing that Guerrero ever does, that's not a bad thing. He can have a Hall of Fame career with room to spare and never reach the heights that he's at right now. But at the same time, he's so young, he's so talented, his approach and he's so skilled as a hitter that I think there's still potential left. So we could see this become routine, or we could see this become the peak. And I think either one of those could lead to a career that meets expectations and then some.